Good morning. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And as you're turning there, I want to thank you again for all your prayers for Phyllis as she is recovering and doing fine as long as she walks a straight line. And you've got to remember back in the book of Joshua, he said that he walked a straight line and he did not turn to the left or turn to the right. And that's what we should also learn to do, is keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I find it very interesting that when an operation on your leg like that, you have to walk straight. And that's a good reminder to all of us to walk straight. I also want to thank you for the privilege of being allowed to speak. It's a privilege to handle the Word of God, to open up His Scriptures, and to teach it is a tremendous responsibility. So I thank you for that responsibility. I thank you for the Lord allowing me that. And I ask you to hold me accountable for whatever I teach. Because you have to believe in it yourself, and you have to live the Word of God if you're going to teach it and present it. So thank you for this opportunity. 1 Kings chapter 17, just 7 verses. It's an Old Testament prophet named Elijah. Starting in verse 1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself before the brook of Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went, and he did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land." Let's ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Father, as we come before You once again, we thank You for the opportunity to read Your Word. We know that the Word has been made available to us because of the redeeming blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has opened our hearts so that we could see what is truth, and the truth has set us free. So, Father, we would ask that You would illuminate the Scriptures to us once again, that You would show us what You would have us to see and learn, and to be challenged, exhorted where we have to be exhorted, and put into practice what we have to put into practice. So guide our thoughts, keep our attention towards Thee, and then we'd ask that You would help each one of us to learn the principles that You would be laying forth about waiting on You. So we ask for Your help in the name of the most precious one, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's last time I was here, we were talking back in Luke chapter 4. I'm going to ask you to swing over to Luke chapter 4 for a moment. Keep your finger in 1 Kings. And why the subject of waiting on God? That's what we're going to talk about today, waiting on God, and what are the rewards of waiting on God, and what do I do when I have to wait upon God? Because we all wait upon God sometime, someplace in our life. But we should always wait for God to help us in our direction, in our movement of life. And the reason I brought out Elijah was when the last time we were here, we read Luke chapter 4. We saw that Jesus had begun a ministry. He comes back to Nazareth in verse 16. He opens up the Scriptures, and we read 16 through 30. As we read that, we come down to verse 25. Now remember, he opened the book to Isaiah, and he talked about the time of the Lord, and it was his time. Heaven waited until this one specific moment of time, and then he sent his son into a position of ministry. We come down to verse 25 or 24. It talks about, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And then he gave a reference of two different prophets, Elijah and Elisha. He brings out these prophets, and what I found fascinating is I wanted to know why he brought those out. What was he doing? And so in verse 25 he says, "But I tell you of truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, where the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all of the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And we see that he brought out the two different prophets with three different places of ministry. He brought the 1 minute or 1 second, or how many seconds it takes to say that one sentence, "There'll be no rain," to Elijah. And then he talked about Elijah at Zarephath, where he helped the widow and his son. And so I was thought it would be very good or fun to go back and to see why did he actually take those particular prophets and to see and start unfolding what he would have for us to learn. And so that's where we're going. Jesus again mentions Elijah as one of these prophets. And we take this person, Elijah, and I'm going to ask you to swing back to 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah had a true sense of godly values. He knew what God desired, and that God desired what was for the best of Israel, for Israel. And so when God brought out different rules or laws, it was laws and rules or regulations for love to take care of a nation. For this nation would represent God. He was a prophet. It's not so much as one who foretells something, but one who tells about God's message. The message had already been laid out in Deuteronomy. We'll look at that in a second. It's Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17. And Elijah's going to bring this particular message. Elijah also was not connected to the nation of Israel's religious system. He got out of the system because the system went off track. It went to the ways of idols. You see, after Solomon, you had King David. King David had, then there was King Solomon. And after King Solomon died, then the nation of Israel broke off into two different areas. Israel was made up of 10 tribes, and then Judah, which was carried to 2 tribes. This was not pleasing to God. And it's my understanding and study, after they broke up, because Israel, the 10 tribes, is the one that broke off, there was never a good king. They always did evil in the sight of God. On Judah's side, it was about 50-50. They had good kings and they had bad kings. And so Elijah would come under a king named Ahab. And this king Ahab, if I go back to chapter 16, and just look at that for a moment, of 1 Kings chapter 16, it says in verse 29, "And in the 38 years of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." So with all the evilness that was now penetrating the nation of Israel, degrading what God would have them to be, for they were to be a nation that represented God. And if you remember last time when we were here, we talked about three words, about being an ambassador for God, about being dedicated to God, about being committed to God. And that's exactly what Elijah was. He was a man who loved God, who was jealous for God. We see that over in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Much of this you know because you've read through the history book or the stories about Elijah. But because of Ahab and the evilness that he did, Elijah was one individual that would become very despised. People would not like him. He would be persecuted, and he would be hated by the religious leaders. You see, he had two main services to do for God. One was he had a special message, a mission to perform that would arouse the slumbering Israelites to reach the conscience of God. They were sent to comfort. The second one, he was sent to comfort the people of God as well, because not everyone was caught up under that. Elijah has no place of beginning. You cannot find where he was actually born other than he was from Gilead. And he was a Tishbite in verse 1 of chapter 17. And you don't find him a beginning. He's almost like Melchizedek, the priest. Melchizedek had no beginning and no end. Jesus Christ has no beginning and no end. And so you wonder if all these are connected like that. What you do have with Elijah is he went up in a whirlwind. And so although he did not die, he was one of two men in Scripture that did not die in Scripture. One of several men, actually, because Melchizedek didn't die that we know of. But Elijah was a strong man. He was strong in faith. He obviously was strong physically as well, because he would be the one that would kill 400 other prophets of Baal. But what was the secret of Elijah's strength? Do you ever stop and ponder that? And why are we going into Elijah somewhat? Is because he was of like nature of us. I'm going to go over to James chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. And we pick up that in James 5 and 17 that we are of like nature. Or he was of like nature to us, or we to him. In verse 17 it says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions or like nature as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. What causes this? What happened? And why did Elijah pray that prayer? Well, he prayed that prayer, beloved, because if we go back to Deuteronomy, and I'm moving around a little bit. You can check it later and I'll read it for you, or you can try to follow with me. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 through 17, somehow Elijah knew the law, and he knew what God wanted. And you see, because of Ahab, because of he being a king that did evil in the sight of the Lord more than any other of the kings or all of the other kings, Elijah would come to this knowledge of Scripture, and he would pray this Scripture. It's an important lesson for us to know Scripture and to learn how to pray in Scripture. Because if we learn how to pray in Scripture, we will pray what God desires, for we see he wrote it down and what pleases him and what displeases him. And if we can take Scripture and put it into some of our prayer life, you will have answered prayer. Watch and see what happens when you pray like that. Elijah knew this prayer, or this commandment of God. Verse 13 of Deuteronomy 11 says, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Ever hear that scripture before? You even see that in the New Testament, that we are to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength, all our soul. In verse 14, that I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in the corn and the wine and thine oil. So God is looking for obedience from us, to trust in him, to be an honor and a glory for him. And so that is the prayer that Elijah would think of if Israel was obedient. But the scriptures go on in 15. And I will send grass in thy fields and thy cattle, and thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And beloved, that's exactly what happened with Israel. Ahab turned aside, and he set up false idols. And they worship Baal, a false god, a dead god. And they've turned their back on God. And they've walked in a wrong pathway. And now this is what Elijah prayed in verse 17. And then the Lord's wrath would be kindled against you and shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord has given you. And so Elijah knew the prayer, knew the scriptures. He knew the evilness of the day. But he couldn't just go and tell Ahab this particular prayer until he spent some time with God. Nobody knows how long he spent with God in preparing this great message. Can you imagine Hafton telling the President of the United States, if you could reach him, get through the security guards, and get up to him and say, turn your ways from evilness and do the scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that about our president today, so I don't need anybody going out saying that we're preaching against the government, all right? There's one chapel in New York City that was preaching against the government. They warned them that if you continue preaching, they sent representatives to listen to the speakers. And if he continued, that they would take away their tax exempt. Well, they didn't stop. And they're not tax exempt. So, hey, let's get off the politics. We don't need to go there. Let's talk about Elijah. He's a great guy. He was a man subject like passions of us. Elijah had been before God in prayer, and he waited on God to give this great message, a message that was directed him into service, and now he would live for that service. Ephesians chapter 6 and 18 says that we are to pray with all supplications. The quote is this from Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all strength, all saints. And that's what we are to do. That's right after putting on the armor of God. And as you pray the prayer with all supplications, it tells us that we should be in a situation of perseverance, but we have to wait for God. Wait for God to present the message. Wait for God to act on the message. Wait for God to move in the direction he would want us to do. In Elijah's case, God had decided it was time for Israel, his people, to be reminded what God had said. Turn your ways. Be obedient and you'll have rain. Be disobedient and you'll have drought. God said if they would obey, they would be blessed, but if they disobeyed, they would be chastised. Elijah's strength lies in his love for God, because he was jealous for God. Elijah's strength lied in his prayer life, praying in God's words and his ways and his principles and purposes. Elijah's strength was in humility. because he knew he would go before a king. And to stand before a king, it says in that verse 1, if you're going to stand before a king, you best stand before God. Better yet, kneel before God. And if you have to lay flat on the ground, lay flat on the ground before God before you go and do any service for him. Elijah was a man of knowledge, and his strength lied in the knowledge of scriptures that he knew. And so when we are right with God in our hearts, then it is right to ask things that please God in his word, from his word. And God will answer us accordingly. Elijah waited for God's timing and direction. Elijah waited for God. And that's the message I really want you to take home with, that he waited on God. And we'll see this in that little action in 1 Kings 1 through 7, how he waited for God in all things that he did. And we'll talk about rewards on waiting. There are rewards to wait when you're waiting on God. But we are in the United States. We're in the land of instants. We want instant oatmeal. We want instant grits. We want instant banking. We want everything happening yesterday as we go. We don't like standing in lines. And what do you do when you stand in line? Do you make it useful or do you just stand there? We'll talk about that as we go on. So there are rewards in waiting on God, even in our daily lives. Elijah's message was simple. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years, but according to thy word. To stand again before God, and you must be cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You must be reconciled, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. We must be constantly waiting on God, to be committed to him, ever ready to obey God's slightest command in our life. Are there opportunities that come before you? Are you taking those opportunities? Again, we have the Sunday school with this program of about 1,000 souls in 1,000 days. You will find that they're going to go out and service in the VBS, Vacation Bible School. They're going to have a time of backyard preaching and teaching, but they're going to go out for service. But to do the servicing of God, even at a young age, they have to wait on God's timing and moments. But they have to stand before him cleansed and blessed. And beloved, before you move in any direction for God, always have a slight prayer of confession so that you are in a right fellowship with him. So you get the fullness of blessing as you go. We must be at God's disposal, both at little things and at big things. But we must be constantly ready for service. And to be ready is to wait upon him. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. If you remember that little scenery, you'll have Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He just finished praying. And he came back because he took three of his disciples with him. And they found them sleeping. A slight rebuke was given to them, knowing that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But then the encouragement was, watch and pray. So as we wait, we are to watch and pray. And then watch again. And I'll give you 5 steps on that. When I find that people are in struggles and trials and tribulations, there's one psalm, one verse, and one psalm that I constantly use. It's a verse God gave me early in his life as one with a gift of pastoring, a gift of shepherding. The verse was in Psalm 27 and verse 14, where it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And the trials and tribulations that we go through, we must wait for him. Watch him work and unfold, because he wants to build our character more into the character of Jesus Christ. You see, it carries with it a strength, an inner strength, that particular verse. In verse 25, Psalm 25 in verse 3, it says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed." And beloved, if you wait upon him, you will not be ashamed. It's when you run ahead of God. Do you ever find God too late in your life? Something's happening and God just wasn't there for you? And you'll find no. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And God is never early. I know people are waiting for decisions by their employer. They're waiting decisions about the birth of a child. They're waiting decisions on whether. All kinds of decisions people are waiting for. But God is never early and he's never late. You just have to keep your eyes focused. Stay in obedience. Trust in him. And you'll have perfect peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Waiting. In this hurry-up world, waiting for anything can cause us to lose our temper. You ever lose your temper as you wait for somebody? Why aren't they here? I have been waiting here for an hour and a half. Where are they? Then you find out you had the wrong day. You lose your good sense sometimes when you're waiting and not focusing on God. And many often than not, you lose your tongue. There is more often that you lose your tongue. And what I mean by that is you murmur, you complain, you bellyache. We do not like waiting at stoplights. My car is designed to turn that red light on. It is. You ask my wife. Very rarely do I get a green light. So and she gets upset with me. She says, "What do you do?" So we don't like stopping at red lights. Grocery lines we don't like. Bank lines, ATM, inside or out, we don't like. We just want to get it done. Waiting for dinner. A lot of husbands don't like waiting for dinner. They become bears. The emergency room. Ever go to an emergency room and you're bleeding and they say, "Well, just hold on. 2 hours later, "You guys all right?" "No, we lost all our blood. We're done." We don't like waiting to feel better either. We want to feel better yesterday. We got sick today, but we want to feel better yesterday. And this week, I got a little upset because I was waiting for the fish to bite. You know, 4 hours of waiting for that fish to bite. It's a long time. But we had good fellowship. It's all right. What are the questions we ask ourselves about waiting? Well, are you late God? Are you early God? Does omnipotence of God have the power to change our circumstances? Note that. There are times God has us wait because he's changing our circumstances. And we're not even paying attention. The answer is no, he's never early or never late. And the other answer is yes, he will change our circumstances because he's more interested in our character to be more like him. And that's why we go through trials and tribulations and sufferings and persecutions. What is the challenge about waiting and at the same time being of good courage? Well, Psalm 27 has to become alive to you. Psalm 46 also people use often. Again, waiting is not passive. It's active. It takes a lot of effort to be patient, a lot of effort to just stand still and know that he's God. That's what Psalm 46:10 says. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And so our patience, we watch, we pray, Matthew 26:41 again, has been directed by God, commanded by God for us to do this, to be patient. Impatience is sin, beloved. Patience is honoring God and trusting God. Waiting is a definite, direct directing of our attention toward God for the Christian, waiting for God's interventions in our circumstances. That's what it's all about. Waiting is not passive again. It is an active, quiet stillness. It is directed purpose of expectancy from God. It's directing our attention always to God. So as you're waiting, stop looking at yourself and look at God. One way to know his instructions on what he's doing during this time of trials and tribulations. One way to know that God is dealing with you is through his word. We all have the experience when reading our scriptures that a verse becomes your verse. It jumps out at you. You ever have that experience when you're going through a trial? Or even if you're just reading your scriptures, a verse becomes your verse? I was reading my Bible through, and I've read it through several times, and one of the times I was reading it through, I was just in the book of Proverbs reading it, and then one verse pops right out at me. Proverbs 8 and 17. I didn't even have to memorize it. It became my verse. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And that became a verse of mine. And so for every time I hear someone going to have an operation or a job change or moving, I think of that particular verse. I love those who love me. And I express that to God. They love you, God. So I seek you early for them, God, to make your direction known to them. Have you ever had that where a verse just jumps out at you and you can shake your heads and let me know if I'm on the right track? Have you got your own personal verses? Those, hold on to those. They're going to bring you through many trials. They're going to bring you through many counseling sessions and encourage you and other people around you. This requires you to earnestly to seek God. You see, he's already sought you. He's already got you. Now seek him. Study him. God's leading, waiting for the Holy Spirit to prompt you with scripture, to give you instructions during your time of trial, during your time of suffering, or during your time of prosperity. Beloved, if you're having a time of prosperity, enjoy it and study it. Study the scriptures during that time as well. It opens up your hearts and it opens up your eyes for the future. Remember, scripture was not made for us to prove our point. Scripture was made so that God speaks truth to us, to our spirits, to his ways, to his purposes. You know, another way we know God instructs us through times of trials, he changes our circumstances. God always has a reason for telling us or having us wait. Our responsibility is to trust in God. Elijah in 1 Kings, you see that he had his circumstance change. Sometimes God takes a while. It could be 6 months, it could be a year, it could be a month, and other times it's only seconds. You got to pay attention to when God is moving. And after Elijah prayed the prayer or said the statement, gave the message to Ahab, the worst of all kings, his life was in danger. So what did God tell him? Wait a week and a half and then move? He said no. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself in the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Immediately the word of God came to him. Beloved, does the word of God come immediate to you? If it doesn't, then my question would be this. How much meditation do you do in your life? How much study of scripture, how much knowledge of scripture do you have during times of trials, during times of prosperities, during times of everyday living? How much time are you spending with God? Do you think God cares if you go to work today or not? If you go to church today or not? If you go to the ball game today or not? Do you think he cares? You'd be surprised how much he is a God of details and how much he looks at your heart and see where you are. He's a God that wants to bless and protect and serve, even though we are to serve him. And so we see that be ready at all times. He may be changing our circumstances. Again, Elijah's circumstances changed several times on his running. He says, go to the brook Cherith. Now remember, there's going to be a drought. There'll be no rain. It's going to be 3 years and 6 months, Jesus said, that the rain would last. And so that means the brook may dry up. Elijah doesn't know this. What he does know is this. Go to the brook. Get yourself away from Ahab. And he says, hide yourself. Hide. You would think he wouldn't have to hide because God would protect him. But you wonder who could even find the brook at Cherith. It's the east portion of Jordan. And so Elijah left immediately. Ahab would be searching for him. He says, drink of the brook. And then I'm going to have ravens to feed you. Not some circumstances that would change you. Raven is probably one of the dirtiest birds going. And what are they going to do? They're going to be the hunters for Elijah. Can you imagine? Oh, I feel like you're having a squirrel tonight. And drops down from the first heaven, the air. This raven drops a nice squirrel for you, or a rabbit. I don't think you're going to get a lion or any oxen from that raven, unless he got a piece of it for you. You got the... Picture this. This is where he has to live. How long does he have to stay there? Until God changes his circumstances. It doesn't say how long. The brook was going to dry. Elijah didn't know if the brook was going to dry or when the brook would dry. But again, when you're having an operation, when you're sick, when you're having a trial, we don't know how long that trial is going to last. But keep your eyes focused on God. Wait on him. God will give you clear direction. Only when we're willing to wait. Only when we're willing to wait. And you watch and you pray and you keep your eyes on him. God will give clear direction on making a move. Change of an address. A career change. A choosing of a mate. Buying furniture. Buying a car. God will help you in these decisions if you wait upon him. I said this in a different type of topic in another assembly a few years back. And I said, just wait upon God and watch it. And he came to me the next time I preached there, a few months later, and he says, I tried that. I went to a car dealer. I only had X amount of money. The car was way too expensive for me. So I gave him, what I told him to do was wait 30 days, pray on it for 30 days. If the car is still there, it's yours at your price. And I'm not a prophet, don't plan to be. I'm just saying, go with God's word. If it's your vehicle, it's there for you. Well, he came back and he says, I told the person at the car dealership who was not a Christian, I told him, this is my price, I want that vehicle. And he says, well, we'll see what we can do. He says, I'll wait 30 days. And he prayed. I said, but you got to pray for it every day. And beloved, I'll throw that challenge out to you. Pray for it every day for 30 days. If you do not pray every day for that item for 30 days, you don't want it. And it may not be yours for you. So work on that. Think about that and watch and see what God does. Well, he came back, a letter. The guy said, the salesman said, it was no possible way you'll get that vehicle for that price. On the 30th day, he got a letter or a phone call. It was a phone call, I believe. And he called me up on that day because he had to tell me it was his car for that price on the 30th day. It wasn't selling. Now, that may not happen to you, or it may happen to you, but if you don't ask for it every day for 30 days, you really don't want it, or it's not meant for you. Think about that and work it through. Trust in God. Trust in His love. Trust in His counsel. Do not murmur or complain when you're going through this time of trial. God's counsel will come to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you 5 steps right now on what to do when you're in a long time of waiting. Number one, stop what you're doing. So if you're murmuring, stop. If you're complaining, stop. If you're praying, continue. Don't stop. Second step is pray on the item. Pray on the situation. Pray on the circumstance. Pray on all those things at that point in time. Step three, confess anything God is bringing to mind, any past sin that you did not confess, any present sin that you haven't confessed. Confess it. Get in a right relationship with God. Step one, stop what you're doing. Step two, pray. Step three, confess. Step four, read Scripture. Not to prove your point, but to listen to what God says. Clear your mind and let God talk to you. Number five, pray on that Scripture. Pray on that Scripture, on that circumstance. If you're having a loss in the family, if you're having a sickness or where the sadness, you want to go to Psalms as a suggestion. If you want to know some practical applications on what you should do and not do, I suggest you read the Epistles and Proverbs for wisdom and understanding. But again, trust in God's love. You see, God gave Elijah clear directions. He said to Elijah, go eastward, hide yourself, stay by this brook Cherith, which is in the Jordan, drink of the brook, and you're going to see the ravens come. They're going to have your breakfast, and they're going to have your supper. So he'll get 2 meals. He says, morning and evening. So I'm sure there was enough. There's not, you know, it's not like in America where we can just go to the cupboard and get all kinds of snacks. You see, when you're living for God out in the wilderness, you have to deal with the roughness of the wilderness. God uses waiting time to get us to step up with His timing. He makes us wait so that we get to His timing and not our timing. If we wait on God's timing, we will have a sense of peace. Delayed timing is perfect timing from God's point of view. By the way, it's never delayed in Him. He's always on time. We think it's delayed time. And then so many times we are so glad it was delayed. Remember those red lights I love? Well, there's been many a time. I time them now. I see how long these red lights last, because I know there's certain red lights that last longer than others. But it seems like I always get the minute and a half one instead of the minute one. Most red lights are only red for a minute from top to bottom. Except I get a minute and a half, and sometimes I wonder why. And then I go down the road, and it was an accident. See, I can only see in fragments. I can't see the whole picture. God sees it all, and He holds me to His time. By the way, if I start to memorize Scripture or meditate on Scripture, that minute goes by real fast. But be careful. You shouldn't be praying in your car if you're going to put your head down and close your eyes. Don't be praying in the car if you're going to do that, if you're driving. All right. So God uses waiting time to get us in step with His timing. Again, delayed timing is what we think, not what He thinks. Usually our decisions affect other people. No matter what decision we make, it affects other people. You see, the decision that Elijah made in being obedient to God by going to the brook of Cherith, he was waiting for God to make his next move for Elijah. He was going to affect the woman at Zarephath. It was going to affect her and affect everyone around that woman. That's another teaching we'll get to later. God's timing will perfectly work in all circumstances, bringing everything together for our lives, and everyone around us will have a peace, if you're at a peace. Ever watch coaches, especially in basketball? If the coach is excited and out of whack and angry, most likely one of the players will have a technical because they will follow the coach's attitude. Beloved, be of peace. Stay in God's timing. Watch what he has to say. Pray. Waiting on God gives us or prepares us for God's answer to our circumstances. That's another thing. He's going to answer our circumstances. Whether it's in marriage, you'll find out if you wait and God has you wait and you don't get married right away, you'll find out if you really love her or him. You'll find out some of the compatibilities you have or don't have. A lot of times people run off and elope, and then they find later on that wasn't what they wanted. Wait sometimes. Follow God's leading on that. Business deals. A lot of times business deals are made in haste. You buy certain things quickly because the price looks good. Let me give you another story about what I did one time, and I'm just using it because I was experiencing this. I was looking for a dishwasher, a refrigerator, and a stove. They all broke at the same time. So I'm going around place to place asking God, direct me. So I go to one particular store, won't tell you the name, great price, but they took the Lord's name in vain. I said, your sale is done. He says, well, you won't beat this price. I says, probably not, but your sale is done. And I walked away from that sale, and Phyllis is saying, I understand why you did that. I'm with you on that. And then we went to another store. It was $50 more than that price. I said, but he never swore. I said, your sale's made. I paid $50 more. Why? Because he took the Lord's name in vain. Simple as that. Stand on principles with God. He will guide you. Watch to see if he's showing himself before you. Choosing a vacation or times should be a time of prayer, where you're going to go, why you are going there, what will you be doing there? Ask God to direct you. All these things we should be waiting on God for, looking through his scripture. If you're not sure what to do, use the 5 steps. Stop, think about it, pray, read scriptures, pray again. Did I miss one? Oh, confess in the middle. Got to confess. Always confess. Always confess. So you have the right relationship. We have time to think about our motives when we're waiting for God. We have time to think about what's going on in our life. Determine if we will be in God's will or not. Waiting on God strengthens our faith. Faith has a signpost. It has 2 signs on it. You know, one sign says, slow down. The other sign says, wait here. And then let faith have her way. And then change. So a summary. God gives us clear direction. God gets us to step up with him. In step with him, God prepares us for what he has in store for us. And God strengthens our faith when we check our motives. And there's rewards in waiting. What's one of the rewards of waiting? We discover God's will and purpose when we wait. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, and the soul seeketh him. Romans 8:28, we all know that one, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. No, underline that, to them that love God. to them who are called according to his purpose. Elijah's prayer was answered to God, what God wanted, and it took place. Israel was disobedient. They didn't confess. They didn't repent. They didn't change. And so the curse of what God said, the chastisement of him, would come upon them. Elijah knew it, brings it in, and prays it. It happens. God wants to bless us. If we're not in obedience, we don't get the full blessing God can give us. So my challenge to you and to me is stay in his purpose. Stay in his time of waiting. Let him work it out. Change the motives. We see that he will be moved from Cherith. Elijah will be moved from Cherith to Seraphith. So we discover God's purpose. That's one of God's rewards. Another reward is this. We receive supernatural strength and physical strength. And that's what Elijah did. Although drinking from a brook or eating from the flesh that ravens drop, he received physical strength, spiritual strength. Hold on to the promises of God. Let me take you for a moment to Isaiah 40. You know this one. Isaiah 40, verse 31, actually 29 through 31, it says this. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Twice he gives that particular issue with the eagles. He talks about the eagle in there where it says, mount up wings as eagles. When you study the eagles, and you may have heard this story before, in Psalm 105, he also says that you will be renewed in the strength of an eagle. An eagle is a bird that can live up to 70 years, sometimes 75 or 80 years. In its time frame, it gets around 20 years old. It gets weak and old. And so what it does, it flies to the highest peak it can get to. As it gets to the highest peak, it takes its beak and rips out all its feathers. Now it cannot fly. It becomes vulnerable. That's why he's up on a high mountain. And then he takes his talons, and with his beak, he rips off the talons, his strength, where he will get his nourishment. And now the talons are ripped off. And then he takes and he bangs his beak against the rock, and with his little baby talons, he rips the beak off. And now he has no feathers. He can't fly. He has no talons. He has no strength. And even his nose that he eats with, the beak is gone. Now he has to wait upon God. And as he waits on God, what God does, the feathers come back. The talons come back. The beak grows again. And now he has the strength of a brand new bird. As he flies and has the strength of a brand new bird, what does he still have? The wisdom of the old bird. He can do this 2 to 3 times in his life. And how I know all of this, Scripture has double the Scriptures. I read it one time from a man named T. Ernest Wilson, who's a missionary in Angola. And then I went to the library and picked out 5 or 6 books on eagles just to study this, to see if it was true. Beloved, let us be like the eagle. Let us wait upon God and receive that strength. Charles Stanley has a quote. His quote is this: God makes a promise. Faith believes it. Hope anticipates it. Patience quietly waits for it. God promises us if we wait on him, he will supply us both in the short term and the long term. Supernatural strength and energy. Patience is the ability to absorb strain and stress without complaint. We are to be undisturbed by obstacles of failure or distresses or delays. When we become impatient, we become in a sinful state. We then need to confess once again. During the time, another reward is we win battles. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord favors those who fear him, for those who wait for his loving kindness. We can win battles. Jehoshaphat said in his prayer, the Lord told Jehoshaphat that the battle is not yours, it's mine, saith the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 20. Another one is we will receive answers to prayers. Psalm 40 and verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined and he heard my cry. One reason we do not see more answers from God is that we run ahead of God, and or we fall behind. We go on our schedule. God has his schedule. Beloved, follow his schedule. What is it? All I can tell you is this. When you're going through times, take the five steps. Stop. Just think about what's going on. Pray to God. He will reveal to you where you're way away from him or near him. And that is where confession comes in. Then read scripture. And then from the scripture, pray again and wait upon God. If you have to do this once, twice, 14 times, just keep doing it. God will reveal the purpose. He will win the war. He'll win the battle. It's his battle. We're his servants. He wants to bless us. And the way to bless us is to follow his scriptures and be obedient to him. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you and thank you for an opportunity to just open up scriptures to see what Jesus was talking about when he started his ministry and where he referenced Elijah. So, Father, help us as we walk out of here not to forget the scriptures, but to put them into practice, put them into our life, and so that you receive honor, so that you receive the glory. Until we meet again, Father, we ask that you bless all that fellowship here or visit here. May you bless them according to the riches of thy grace. We lift it before you, thanking you again in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.